You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Well, it has been a good morning thus far, and I'm just, as I said or alluded to before, I'm just honored that for the last 21, 22 years, I've been able to do and be a part of baptisms like this. It's a great thing. I can look out and I can see people that I actually had the opportunity and the honor to baptize. And it's meaningful every year. I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves, though, about really what it is that we do here. What a service like this is really all about. And there can be some misconceptions. There can be some misunderstandings that surround a service like this one. And I've shared this story with you before, but this is another story where there were some misconceptions. It's a first person story. I'll just read it for you. A man wrote this: I was attending a junior stock show when a grand champion lamb owned by a little girl was being auctioned. As the bids reached $5 per pound, the little girl standing beside the lamb in the arena began to cry. At $10, the tears were streaming down her face, and she clasped her arms tightly around the lamb's neck. The higher the bids rose, the more she cried. And finally, a local businessman bought the lamb for more than $1,000 and then announced that he was donating it back to the little girl, who was weeping audibly now. And the crowd applauded and cheered. Months later, this same man said, I was judging some statewide essays when I came across one from a little girl who told about the time her grand champion lamb had been auctioned. And the essay said this, and I quote, the prices began to go so high during the bidding that I started to cry from happiness. She continued with, the man who bought the lamb for so much more than I ever dreamed then returned the lamb to me. And when I got home, Daddy barbecued the lamb. And it was really delicious. The Gospels tell us about a man named John and how he was raised up by God to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was a powerful speaker. He was a speaker who was filled with the Spirit of God. And his task really was to challenge people about the way that they were living. He was there to challenge people about their sin. And he called them, he preached this sermon of repentance. And he just kept preaching it and preaching it, and he called people to repent. And the common people of that day, the Bible said, responded to his message. The religious leaders didn't know what to do with John. Mostly they just stood back and tried to ignore him as best they could. They kept a watchful eye on him as well, though. And however, when people chose to turn from their sinful ways and respond to John's message, to follow God's direction in their life, John performed this sacred ritual. And he baptized them in the Jordan River. And that's really how he got his name. He became known as John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, or however you want to say it. But it was the baptism that John performed in the Jordan River, when people would come and respond to his message, John would baptize them with this baptism of repentance. And it was a way It was a way, or it was a symbol, or it was an illustration of them sealing their commitment to follow God and leave their sin behind. And all the while, as John confronted the people of their sin, he also explained that someone else was going to be coming. He kept talking about this someone else, this one who would be greater than him, this Messiah, the Messiah that was promised so long ago, and everyone in Israel, everyone of God's people, from the beginning to the very moment that John was living, they had been awaiting this Messiah. And John said, the Messiah is here. The Messiah was set apart by God to be this great leader of the people. And Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, it says this. John is talking here and he's saying this to the people. He said, I baptize you with water. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And then verse 13 says this, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. You have to understand really how significant this is. This event, when Jesus comes to the Jordan River and he asks John to baptize him, is incredibly significant, because when Jesus chose to be baptized, he was doing three very important things. I mean, we believe, when we read the Bible, we believe that Jesus came, and we believe that he was born perfect, and we believe that he lived a sinless life, and we believe that he died on the cross, and he did it for us, right? So there really would be no reason for Jesus to be baptized, because he already was perfect. He already was that perfect Lamb of God. And so it wasn't for those reasons that Jesus was baptized, but he did it for three very significant reasons, and I just want to highlight them for you really quickly. The first thing that Jesus did when he asked John to baptize him and subsequently got baptized was that he was identifying with us. He was identifying with us. I mean, very simply, Jesus was never guilty of sin. He submitted to baptism as a means of recognizing the fact that he was fully human and fully God at the same time. Jesus didn't come to earth to be above us. He came to earth to be God with us. That's what we believe. We believe that we use the word in church. It's a churchy word. We use the word incarnation. And really, what the incarnation really is, it's just a fancy word to say that we believe what we celebrate at Christmas. We believe that Jesus came and he was born of a virgin. He was born of Mary, and he was born by the Holy Spirit. We believe that he lived a life as a human being while at the same time being fully God. That's the incarnation. It means that he was God and he was human all at the same time. That's what we believe. And it would be this idea, I think, if Jesus would have wanted to, don't you think that he could have lorded it over us? I mean, we read about miracles in the Bible. We read about the amazing thing that Jesus did. All these different things, the kindness that he showed people, the way that he was with people, the miracles that he performed. And John says at the end of his gospel, we just kind of went through it here in our church, says that Jesus performed these miracles and did all these things so that people would recognize that he was indeed the Son of God. And people, many people did recognize that he was the Son of God, but many people kind of missed the boat at the same time. But everybody knew that there was something different about him. But Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John that day because he wanted to identify with us. He wanted to say, I am one of you. I am God with us. So when Jesus approached John and he allowed himself to be baptized, he identified with you. He identified with me. He identified with every human being that has ever lived or ever will live. The average person who sought the direction and the will of God, that made him different than all the other religious leaders who were trying to hold their religiosity or their spirituality or whatever they were trying to do. These Pharisees and these Sadducees and these people, they were using their religion as they were using it to damage people and to hold authority over people. Jesus said, that's not me. I'm not trying to lord anything over you. I am you. I am one of you. I experience the same things that you do. I identify with all the emotions that you experience. And yet, I am God with us. I am God with you. And so his baptism was a way of identifying with us. Secondly, not only was he identifying with us, but he was being an example. I mean, we talk about, when we talk to the candidates, we talk a lot about obedience. We talk about the fact that when people get baptized, this water is, it's just water. This is just an ordinary tank of water. There's nothing mystical about it. There's nothing that in this water that is going to somehow get us a trip to heaven. Nothing. Because baptism isn't about saving us. But it's really just an illustration. I mean, when I preach a sermon, I try to use some illustrations because I want to tell a funny story or I want to tell a story that is going to kind of maybe identify with the theme of what we're talking about, right? I want to tell a story that is going to kind of parallel what the Bible is saying or what the passage that we're looking at is saying. Well, baptism is the same thing. It is an illustration for us of something that has already taken place. It is a step of obedience when we step into this tank and when we get wet. When we get baptized, we're saying, this is what has already happened. This is what Jesus did for me. And this tank is, it's an illustration. And so when we look at the Bible and we see in there that Jesus got baptized, I mean, one of the things that he was doing was he was setting an example. And when someone sets an example for you, like your parents or a good friend or whatever, when someone sets an example for you, they're doing it so that you will do the same thing, right? In the hope that you will follow their example. And that's why we talk so much about obedience when we talk about baptism. Because this is a step of obedience. We are following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And these people with their stories and with their baptisms, they're saying to you, this is what Jesus did for me. He came and he saved me. And I am courageously stepping out in faith, stepping out in obedience. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what these people are doing. Lastly, not only was he identifying and being an example, but he was ending one life to begin another. I mean, this baptism in Matthew chapter 3, this was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. This was where the course of his life really changed. To this point in his life, Jesus had been a construction worker. He had been somebody who had been, you know, working with his dad, a craftsman, a carpenter, whatever. But this baptism, these moments when he was in the Jordan River with John the Baptist, this changed the course of his life. It changed the direction of his life. From this point on, Jesus, in a very intentional manner, began to live out his role as the Messiah. And baptism marked this kind of radical change in direction. For Jesus, it was a change in role. And for us, when we receive our salvation, it's a change of direction. I mean, we talk about the fact that repentance is really the idea of turning away from something, right? It's the idea of going this way and turning the exact opposite way and going the other direction. Turning away from our sin. That's what John was saying to the people. He was saying, your behavior is wrong. And you need to repent. You need to turn away from your sin. That's what John's message was all about. And that's what baptism is a symbol of. It's a symbol of repentance. It's a symbol of what Jesus did for us in a very intentional manner. Jesus changed the course of his life. Baptism here for these candidates and for you, if you've been baptized, this tank is a marker. It's a symbol of when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, to change you, to forgive you, to do all those things. This is a symbol of that change of your life's directional course. So he was identifying with us, he was setting an example for us, and he was ending one life to begin another. So my question to you as we close is this. Why does God command baptism? Why does the Bible say that we should get baptized? I mean, wouldn't it have been easier? It would have been a lot less wet on the stage if we would just, you know, have to hold up our hands or, you know, just kind of recite something or whatever, stand on one leg. Or I mean, you can imagine anything. Why is it baptism? I think there's some good reasons. Let me give you two. First of all, I think our baptism or our obedience in baptism is a meaningful expression of faith. God gives us ways to express what we're feeling inside. If we feel sorrow, God gives us tears. If we feel joy, God gives us laughter. If we're afraid, God gives us the ability to feel fear and to scream and to shout for help. If we feel love, God has given us the capacity to feel love for someone else. If God gives you faith and you find yourself believing in Jesus Christ, then the natural expression of your faith results in repentance and obedience to the example and the direction of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why Peter, one of the disciples, said this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin." Now remember, I mean, I don't for a second say that getting baptized is somehow magic. It's not. It doesn't save us. It is just a symbol. It is just water. But it is an act of obedience, what happened here today. It is an expression of faith. These candidates, every one of them said, "I want to show what Jesus has already done in my life. And I want to step on in obedience. And then I would say as well that the Bible says that baptism is this, it's this portrayal. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a picture of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It is a proclamation of our commitment to Him. That's why Jesus, or Paul said in Romans chapter 6, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And if you have been united with Him in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. The day of Pentecost, the disciples were in the upper room, and it says the Holy Spirit came down on them, was poured out on them like tongues of fire. All those are pictures of salvation, of receiving salvation, right? And these things that we do here today or in other churches when you go to a baptism service, it's an example. It's almost like you're preaching a sermon. It's a sermon of love because you're proclaiming that you believe with all your heart that God loves you and you're offering your love to Him in return. It's a sermon of faith. You believe that what you said here and what you did is true. It's a sermon of obedience because God or Jesus has asked you to follow His example. And it's a sermon of trust. You believe His promises and you're trusting your life into His hands now and forever. That's what we do here today. And you are all to be commended. And I'm really proud of you. And I know that all these people are as well. Amen? Let's pray. Man, it's been a good service, Father, and I pray that You would just guide us as we go from this place. And the things that we have witnessed here, I pray that they would stick with us. And Lord, I know that maybe for some of us here, we're remembering our own baptisms. We're remembering what that felt like. We're remembering where we went from there. And Lord, we also recognize that maybe there are some here that know that they need to step out and take the step of baptism. And I pray that that would be something that they continue to think about. And Father, I know that there are people as well here who just simply need to know You, to know Your love, to know Your grace, to know Your mercy, to know Your forgiveness. And I pray, Father, that that this service for them would be a moment at a crossroads and that they would choose You. God, I thank You for all these people, for their support. I thank You for Aaron and for Ben, Father. I thank You for Chloe and for Dylan and Elena, for Hannah and Jacob, Father. I pray that that You would guide them and may this day resonate with them forever, for all this time until You call them home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.